Amen. All right, turn with me to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Actually, verse 12. It says, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The title of the sermon is A Great Light Has Dawned. Point number one, to fulfill what was said is to fulfill your destiny. In John 1, this man, John the Baptist, is questioned by Pharisees. And they ask, are you the Savior? Are you the Messiah that was to come? And a lot of us, we have these famous men and women that we look up to a lot, and we just quote them, like Michael Jordan, Martin Luther King, Churchill, Conor McGregor. But you know who John the Baptist quoted? Isaiah 40. He quoted a prophet. He says, no, I'm just a voice of one calling out in the wilderness to fulfill what was said. He quoted this prophecy because he was a man of destiny. Why? To fulfill what was said. John truly lived out his destiny. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Let me explain to you what I'm talking about. As the campus students would say, let me break it on down. You know, you can see in someone's eyes if they're living destiny. You can really see it. You can see in someone's eyes if it's destiny that's coming from their heart or if it's something they're being told to do. In Mark chapter 1, verse 1, I believe John was a man of destiny, and you can see the fire in that man's eyes that he was going to fulfill what was said because it was deep in his heart. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. The beginning of Jesus' ministry was John the Baptist. In the beginning, let there be light. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, the whole Judean countryside. And all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am unworthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. What is this saying? John the Baptist understood something. He understood that his message needs to be bigger than him. So many disciples don't let the message be bigger than them, so they stay in places they should not be because they want to be greater than God. Your message needs to be bigger than your ego. You know, I've had an internal battle my whole adulthood and teenhood. I hate iPhone. Yeah, I know. You guys are looking at me crazy. I hate iPhones. Go Android. Actually, I got a Google Pixel. Some of you guys are going, iPhone, iPhone. I'm going, Pixel, Pixel. I'm probably the only one with the Google Pixel. Some of you guys are going, Android. One or two of you going, Windows Phone. The few and the favored. Now think of this. Can you imagine? Instead of having a smartphone, we could have a mega smartphone if all of them came together as one. Imagine how smart that phone would be. But instead, all these brands want to just create their own. That's what happens when leadership is unwilling to become cedarship, to die so others can be great. See, you're trying to be your own brand when you got Jesus as your brand. You're unwilling to die. Other people rise up and you get bitter in your heart because your leadership is not cedarship. What do I mean by that? That's what John the Baptist understood. I must become less so Jesus can become greater. Wow. When T and I willingly let go of the position of church leader, we were fired up. I sadly heard from other church leaders, leading a region is, you don't want to do that.
Come on, bro.
What? I would be a doorkeeper.
That's right.
If it meant the kingdom spread to thousands. That is why our churches won't grow, because men and women are unwilling to die to their egos and their pride. I got a phone call from a church leader. Bro, did you fall away? No, I didn't, bro. I died the day I got baptized. I'm not here to be a church leader. I'm here to be a follower of God. Since when does position take place in your heart over the seed of the gospel? You're fighting discipling because you're too prideful to become less so your church can become more. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and he gave his ministry over to the one he baptized. How about it, church leaders? Are you willing to step down when someone else is greater than you?
Come on, bro.
I've never been happier in my life being here in Miami. Now, the church wasn't doing bad. We had 22 additions, 22 weeks straight. Woohoo! Great, T and I. Yeah, stars, lights. Yeah, you're great. I don't even like hearing my name in the good news email. People lift me up and it's like, please don't do that because my head gets too big. I'd rather hear your name and your name and your name and your name because of the good deeds you do while people around you praise our holy God. Amen. Church leaders, ministry leaders, Bible talk leaders, husbands, are you willing to become nothing? Because your message is bigger than you. Amen. You can see this destiny in the eyes of people. It's all in your heart. I look at a man like Jacob Wessels and I see a destiny. I look forward to the day that you're greater than me. I look at Isaac Gonzalez. And I see a destiny, a burning desire to save his country, his people, his friends, and his campus. I look at a man like Chris Klopek. I'm going to share about him later, but I see a destiny in this man's eyes and his wife's. I see my wife. And I see a destiny. I look at Matt's eyes. And it scares me sometimes. Not kidding. He goes, bro, you want to move to Gainesville to lead the church? Bro, what do you think about a campus conference? Let's evangelize the world, bro. You with me? This man has a destiny in his eyes. But I want to talk about someone in specific. Every time I look in this man's eyes, I get a little bit, you know what I mean? You get a little bit more straightened up. You're like, whoa, this man does not play games. Frank Hines. I see destiny in his eyes. I see it, and you see it. His brother's household sees it. You know, he's got battles just like all of us, but in his heart, he has a destiny. There's one thing in this man's mind, and it's obvious by what he talks about. This morning, the first thing he said to me, he said, my brother, can you join a study at 5 p.m. today? I'm like, He's going to go to church, leaders meeting, go through all the meetings, and he's going to do a Bible study at 5. The one thing on his mind is the destiny of all disciples. And when a man lives for his destiny, he's willing to die to himself because he truly believes in his message. Over 30 years, this man has been a disciple. He's led hundreds and hundreds of people, and he's literally faced death over and over again. You know what he said to me the other day? He says, I will follow you. Bro, I look in your eyes and you scare the bejesus out of me. You're going to follow me? And I got something from Frank. You got to respect and honor every disciple. And let every disciple be honored above yourself before you are honored, because that is what is going to make the kingdom great. Frank is a man of destiny. It is in my heart to lift up a man like Frank because he's imitating Jesus. Jesus came down to earth to save men and women like you and me. Are you willing to become nothing so one soul can be saved? So that way your church becomes amazing. Instead of you being the solution, why don't you get out of the way, lay your face flat before another person greater than you, and let God become the God in that region that you live in. Destiny needs to be in your heart. And what does your heart do? It pumps blood throughout your body. And if destiny is in your heart, your destiny is flowing throughout your whole entire being. Is your destiny, disciples of Jesus, the same destiny of Jesus? John is put in prison and is later beheaded. For what? Being a man of absolute destiny. He preaches the word, and his voice is heard from the desert. How loud do you have to preach to gather a whole entire region to one place when you're in the middle of a desert? We've got regions and house churches that are super far away. Is your voice being heard? You can't drift if you bring the destiny to you. I'm telling you. Every disciple in this room can start a house church, a Bible talk. All you got to do is repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Wow. He preaches the word. He preaches to a king. And that king and his little girlfriend wife thing does not like it, so he gets his head cut off. If you believe in something, you better be willing to die for it. We believe in Jesus. We believe in the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Why are we letting our pride get in the way of our light? Because we believe in Jesus, we now speak. What was amazing about John the Baptist is that the king can stop his voice, but he could not stop his message. It's reminding me of Raja Rajan over there in New Delhi. He's the overseeing evangelist of all the churches in India. And from a little more than 30 disciples, in less than 6 months, it's over 130 disciples. I think New Delhi is a little bit farther than Ocala is from Gainesville. I think New Delhi is a little bit farther than Hollywood is from downtown Miami. I think it's a little bit farther than Valencia from where Chris Klopek lives. What am I saying? If you believe in Jesus, you will live that destiny no matter how far you feel like you are from the other disciples. You will be the light because you are living that destiny wherever you are. Raja and my wife and Debs, we got together at the GLC, and he says, you know, bro, I can't do an Indian accent. He says, I've been beat up. I looked at him, I was like, what? Mocked, spit on, threatened, and more. And you know what? You know what I say? I'm already a dead man. I'm already dead. I'm like, well, bro, you look living to me. He says, no, I'm already dead. The day I was baptized was the day that I died. So if I get beat up, so what? If I get persecuted, mocked, rejected, so what? My message is bigger than me. He said, hey, look, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. It's not a game. It's not a social club. This is the destiny of the church, to die for what we believe in. Austin Devine is cut from that same cloth. He preached for the men from his little thing that he has. What is? It's just a thing for people that are seeing impaired. So he's preaching from it, and he basically says, I'm already a dead man. I gave up my comfortability up there in Gainesville, Florida, where I had everything set for me. This young man came to Miami and left everything to fulfill his destiny, not as a student, but as a disciple. Now, Austin lost his sight at a young age, and that same time, he lost his father. The first couple weeks that Austin became a disciple, he almost lost his spiritual sight. He almost gave up. Brothers didn't give up on him. He said, I'm going to give it another shot. A couple months later, I go up to him and say, my brother, you want to go to Miami? He goes, absolutely, my brother. I said, cool, bro, get all your stuff ready, raise $1,500, and come on down. I got it, my brother. He comes down to Miami. Within the first couple weeks, he's walking with his cane. Hey, anybody want to go to church? Do you want to study the Bible? Hey, do you want to study the Bible? And this PhD student walking by, he goes, yeah, I do. Okay. Let me get your number. Okay. They set up their first Bible study, their second, third, fourth. We get to the cross study. I'm sitting in this Bible study with Austin with destiny in his eyes. Crossed away from this young man, this very prominent young man, and I look at him and I say, you are so prideful. You think you know everything, don't you? I just looked at the cross and you're telling me this, that. You're not telling me what Jesus did. You're telling me what you think you know. Shut your mind off. Open your heart. Same thing for disciples. Just shut your mind off. Stop thinking so much and accept more of God. At this point, this young man starts crying tears and he just goes, I don't know how to accept the love of God. And then at that point, we were able to teach him how to accept the love of God. Alex, PhD student at FIU, was baptized that Sunday. You know, God said to Austin, he called him from the darkness, he said, let there be light. And God gave him a destiny. And today, Austin is truly fulfilling what is said. He is truly living out his destiny. Austin is the light of the world. What is the destiny of a disciple? To die every day so others can live for eternity. Luke 9:23-26 says, carry your cross and deny yourself daily. Drop your ego. You're not awesome. You don't need to be awesome. You don't need to be known. You don't need your name on conferences. You need God's name in your heart. So that way people around you can be saved. When a man or a woman lives for their destiny, the message pours out from their heart and it affects everyone around them. You know, leading out of fear is the worst decision you can do. If people are just giving you pity followership, you're not leading them in love.
That's right.
I've been that guy. You know the scariest thing to do is to love someone that hates you. You got to lead and you got to love because you love God and you have a destiny in your heart, not because you want attention or position. Or people to think this, or the color of your skin, or to prove something. All you're doing is you are a voice in the wilderness preparing the way for the Lord. That's all you got to be.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
After John's imprisonment, the Bible says Jesus withdraws to Galilee. Maybe Jesus knew that John would be beheaded. But the fact is this. When we live out our destiny, nothing can stop our message. The destiny of every disciple is heaven, and every disciple has a destiny, a very special purpose. Every soul is for you to know God and for those around you to know Him. Every disciple has a destiny. Church, I plead with you to hear me. It's not for the 10%, it is for the 100%. All disciples need to live out their destiny from their beating hearts. I am not going to let a man or a woman live out a physical purpose for race, religion, or anything on this world more than I live for Jesus. I love purpose, but I'm not going to let Martin Luther King be more fired up than me for Jesus. I am not gonna let Hitler be more fired up about his purpose than me for Jesus. Every soul, every disciple has a mission, a special mission, a special destiny, and together we make up this destiny, the evangelization of all the nations in this generation. That is your destiny. And we cannot lose sight of this because of our petty pride and our egos.
Come on, bro.
Psalm 126. Now, I know you're with me, and I know you hear me, but I want you to examine your personal ministry, and is it full of destiny, or is it barely hanging on?
Come on, bro. Come on.
You got to let go of barely hanging on. And you gotta start living the light you're called to be living.
That's right.
Now, this is my first point, and my other points are very short, because I feel like all disciples need to remember there is a destiny for you.
Come on.
In verse 1 of Psalm 126, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter. And our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. And the Lord has done great things for us. And we are filled with joy. My brothers and sisters, when someone lives out their destiny, they are filled with joy. And too many times, do I have to remind some disciples just to smile? Too many times do I have to shake the shoulders of the young campus disciples saying, get your zeal back. Get your light back. Too many times do I have to challenge the young men to stop being prideful. Too many times. I just wish you saw what you had. There are men and women in this world being raped every day by their own family members. And you're in the kingdom and you can't smile. There are women being sold as sex slaves in the world and you can't smile. There are men being abused and beaten by their foster parents, their parents, and you can't smile. I've been in utter darkness. I've been there. And I never want anybody to be there. You can't take my joy. You can't take my hope. And you can for sure never take my destiny. Because I live my destiny, I am filled with joy. You know, a great light has dawned. And that light is Jesus. Jesus isn't here today. Jesus is here in you. You are that great light. You are the great light that dawns. When you walked into the CIC building this morning, a great light has dawned. When you walk into your houses, your classrooms, your workplaces, you are that great light. Brothers and sisters, we are the sold-out movement of our mighty God. And the sold-out movement of God is shining ever brighter every day as we draw near to our God. Let it never be said that we are losing our destiny. Let it never be said that we are not living our potential. Let it never be said that we tried and we failed because of our pride. Let it never be said that we threw in the towel, that we tapped out, that we gave up. Let it be said that we are the ones that lived out our destiny. Almost done. In 2007, I was sort of the last pick for a supplemental mission team to Phoenix, Arizona. Sort of as in I was the last pick. To church, I wore my baggy clothes, my t-shirts, I didn't shave, I had my sideways hat, and I thought I was Eminem. Mike Patterson comes up to me with destiny in his eyes. He goes, "Bro, do you want to come with me to Phoenix, Arizona?" Sure. Left two jobs and an apartment in downtown Portland. I said, "I'm coming with you." We drove down to Phoenix, Arizona. We got ourselves settled, and Mike's just all fired up. Matt was there. Matt and Helen were overseeing the church. And I set up my first Seeking God study. Oh, it was awesome. Then we get to the Word of God study. My sideways hat then came off. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Get serious here. I don't know if I used the right analogy, but I said, "See, the pen. God is there." Mike, can you take this one over? Gotcha, bro. So I took the notes, and I just took notes for Mike. I said, "Yeah, that's fine." I didn't know what I was talking about. I worked 40, 50 hours, not including the half-hour drive and walk to work and half-hour drive from work, not including my one day on campus from 8 a.m. to 12 a.m. In 2 months, Mesa Community College, from my little baggy clothes, wannabe Eminem disciple, came 8 baptisms. No, it's not me. I didn't know what I was talking about. I had a destiny. Florida Disciples, Boston, Sao Paulo, New York, Syracuse. Do you live like a destiny? Like a man or a woman that has destiny every day? You know, from that campus ministry came Richie and Elizabeth McDonald, who now oversee hundreds of souls in the Philippines. Colton Roan, who now oversees Columbus, Ohio, and brought many to Christ. Chanel Patterson, who oversees the Manhattan region with Mike Patterson. They planted Gainesville and helped lead the Boston church. Many of us would not be here without their faith. This campus literally saved men and women who now lead the multitudes. What am I getting at? Your campus ministries, region leaders, house church leaders, campus ministers, cannot be something that's just surviving.
Come on, bro.
In any church, it must be thriving.
Amen.
It must be amazing.
Come on, bro.
It must be the most focused ministry in your church. Because if it isn't, the future of the kingdom is at risk. Too many times us older folks try to take the attention from the younger ones. You know, a campus that's living its destiny is sending out leaders around the world, like what's happening in Sao Paulo. Now, I want to talk to the campus ministries and the Sages World Sector. You guys in the house today? I have a burning in my heart, a burning. It burns me every day. And I'm not kidding. I cry tears very often when I think of all the souls we have to save. I think of the countless thousands of young, ambitious leaders that are just being missed. Because campus ministries aren't living destiny. It breaks my heart to think that they're not in the kingdom yet. It breaks my heart and it tears my mind up. I'm like, God, this is too much for me. Can you help me out, family? Is it just going to be your leaders or are you going to do this together? I think of our campus ministries and I go, there is a destiny. And it isn't to get to 30 members and just hang on and hope we stay strong. It isn't to survive or just to kind of like, hey, you just go ahead and do your devos. It is to be the future of God's kingdom. Some of our campuses have 60,000 students. And 1% of that would be 600. If you worked 1% of the hours you worked, would you be happy with that? If you had 1% of the hair you had, would you be happy with that? If your husband or your wife gave 1% of your heart, would you be happy with that? Then why aren't you humbling yourself to get your ministries to 1% of your campus? We have to be open to do the work it takes to live out our destiny. We have to think bigger. We have to get ourselves outside of our minds and start going and preaching the word. Not some of us, but all of us. When every campus disciple is working like Jesus would work, that is when campus ministry multiplies. I'm not there yet. We're not there yet, but we just hit the tip of the iceberg. I'm humbled by Matt's open-mindedness to let things go when I would be like, no, bro. He's going, no, bro, just let it go. And watch God work. It's been so cool to see Isaac Gonzalez preaching the word, sharing his faith. This dude was in 19 Bible studies in 1 week. I want to ask you guys, if you're the campus ministry, the future messengers of tomorrow, if you are currently in the campus ministry, please stand up. I'm very inspired by Vinny and Bia. Looking at this room, I'm very inspired by those who are standing up. They really brought the light this weekend. Stay standing, because you guys have the energy to do so. Vinny, your faith brings joy to my heart. I vow to imitate your faith here in Miami, and I hope all of these people decide to do the same. Bia, your gentleness and your love and your compassion to dream with dreamers inspires me. And I hope all the women do the same in this room. The campuses in South America have set the pace. They have over 100 disciples in one place. And they have sent out multiple church leaders as well. Every campus ministry needs to be at that level or beyond within the next year in the Sages World Sector. Amen. If we're not there, amen. We're going to do whatever it takes to get there. Church leaders, campus ministers, and Bible Talk leaders, let the destiny be in your hearts. We have to have a dream. We have to have a focus. And it's not for a diploma, and it's not for a degree. It is to evangelize the nations in this generation. I want to challenge you to stop letting your campus be a flickering light. And start making it a great light that is dawned, filled with disciples of destiny. To close out this sermon, to you and through you, God says, let there be light. You have to have the dream of all nations in your soul. Church leaders, take a look around. All those who are a little bit older, take a look around. And you help these young men win the future. Let these young women win the future. I know it's a campus conference. That's why I'm so focused on the campus right now. But I do want to inspire you guys to say one thing with me. Let there be light. On the count of three, though. But as you imagine going over to FIU, you put your foot on your campus and you say it loud and you say it proud and don't mess around. You say it out. You say, let there be light. You go to UF, you put your foot down and you say, let there be light. You go to Boston University, Berkeley, Columbia. You go back home to your campuses. You stomp your foot and you say, let there be light. So on the count of three, brothers and sisters, 1, 2, 3. Let there be light. To God be the glory. Thank you.